It's 5 p.m. and this is IC Radio. So today, Mercury is in retrograde. But more importantly, me, Pisces, my birthday is on Thursday, so I thought, let's have a little celebration episode and chat about drugs and alcohol.
Woo!
Woo! So joining me today is Harry, not only on news, but also for good old chats.
And also on alcohol and drugs. Yeah.
Woo! And Rena will also be joining us a bit later, but at the moment she's on the mixing desk, making us all sound lovely. So yeah, today we're going to chat about all of the drug myths debunked, what drugs actually do to your brain, and some policy stuff around drugs and alcohol. But first, here's Harry with the news.
Thank you very much, Jackie. So, obviously, we have to have our coronavirus update. Basically, the world is approaching a coronavirus tipping point, according to experts, as 78,000 cases are confirmed and Italy and Iran are scrambling to contain major outbreaks. They warn the disease is outpacing efforts to contain it after these major outbreaks, and the France introduced stringent internal travel restrictions, and South Korea's president has placed the country on red alert. Mm. This comes along with an asymptomatic Wuhan woman who managed to spread it whilst testing negative for the virus.
Oh dear.
Yes, indeed.
Not good.
No, it is not. But in some more positive news, artificial intelligence has discovered a new powerful antibiotic which raises hopes in the fight against antibiotic resistance. Researchers at MIT use machine learning to go through a basically massive database of millions of current compounds to look for antibiotics which looked similar to current ones, but not similar enough. So it looked like they'd work, but not that they'd be like impacted by resistance. And they came across one which has destroyed two of the top three antibiotic-resistant bacteria The WHO have said we need to target.
Very cool.
And it was previously investigated as a diabetes drug. There could be so many different antibiotics out there.
Very exciting.
Exactly. And in other news, Jeff Bezos, the world's richest man through, yes, Amazon, as we all know, pledged $10 billion to fight climate change.
How much is that actually percentage-wise for him? I read somewhere that it was like, because I saw that, and it's apparently like the equivalent of a normal person donating like $6.
Well, his net worth is $127 billion.
Yeah, so it's like he donated literally like $6. Thanks, Jeff Bezos.
Thank you.
That's really helpful.
But yeah, it is a start in the fight against climate change, I guess. And like, hopefully he'll donate more.
Just give us all your money, Jeff.
Yes. Maybe if every billionaire gave us all their money, we could do it.
Well, yeah, we probably could.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thanks, Harry.
You're welcome.
So before we get into things, fittingly, let's play Sober by Childish Gambino.
Over, I'll never be sober. I couldn't believe, but now I'm so high. Sometimes, baby, just give it some time. Oh, honey, now, girl, we can solve them. If you'll just give me some time, I can open up your mind. If you let it shine, you can free your mind. Cause I know. I'm so high. to be something wonderful to me. Oh, honey, now, girl, give it one night. If you'll just give it a chance, loving you is not my plan. 'Cause I know one day you'll see all the things that we can be. Oh, no, no, no.
Soba by Childish Gambino. Bloody banger. I love that song so much. So we're going to dive into whether drugs are actually that bad for you and how they compare to alcohol. But first, let's find out what drugs you're on.
Do you want me to give you some pee?
Yes, we'll test it medically. No, we'll do it. It's much more reliable than that. We're going to take a BuzzFeed quiz.
Yes, that is the NHS approved way to do it.
Can you imagine if they did that? They sit you down in the waiting room and just be like, just follow this link. So people are balls of cosmic light beamed from the universe, all interconnected and experiencing each other subjectively. Looking at you funny. You got a problem? Beautiful, man. Just beautiful. Looking at me funny, I think I need to go home. My personal fan group and devoted audience. Or statistics. I'm going to judge you if you put statistics.
Beautiful.
Aww, you're going to get weed.
People are beautiful.
You're going to get weed. What shall we listen to? Oasis, Turn It Up, Queens of the Stone Age, Chemical Brothers, The Doors, man. Just stick the radio on. Whatever I have to say.
Whatever I have to say.
Really? You pussy.
We are on the radio.
That's true. You must be forced to listen to us. Pick a hero. I don't know who any of these people are. Do you know who any of them are? One of them is me. Like, not me, Jackie, but like yourself. One of them's Snoop Dogg. Do you know who any of the others are? That's Bill Gates.
Yeah.
Who's that?
I'm not...
I think that's the guy from Mad Men.
Oh, yeah, it is. I don't know who that
is. He's hot.
He is hot.
I don't know who those two are.
I say me.
Sorry, Snoop Dogg. Maybe next time. It's 11 p.m. on a Friday night. How do you feel? You're blurry. Your vision is blurry and you keep singing to yourself, but otherwise, great. You're ready to tackle that last spreadsheet. Loser. Hungry. Got a pizza menu? Absolutely fucking fantastic. Fascinated by the carpet, or you feel like dancing and having a cuddle.
Oh, definitely that one.
I'd definitely like dancing and having a cuddle.
That's every night.
Yeah. Me too. Sorry, it's Pisces season, as I've said, so
Mercury's in retrograde.
Yeah, exactly. Mercury is in retrograde. How do you feel about politics? Load of crap. First thing you read about every morning. Boring. Why can't we all just get along? I could be prime minister if I wanted. You would actually make a good prime minister.
Oh, thank you.
An illusion distracting us from our true potential as a race.
Ooh.
As a, well, that's
I don't like that
weird
one.
Weird. Yeah.
Bollocks.
Bollocks. Okay. Oh, I think he would be Prime Minister.
Aww.
It's 3 a.m. on a Friday night. How do you feel? Fair.
Nice.
Wait, what's... you wish you could sleep. Your dog is disappointed in you. You're my best friend and I love you. You're a living god. Or you're discovering the meaning of life after talking to monkeys. I was quite astonished.
That was.
I do better. Who do you love most in the world? The barmaid. She's amazing. Every stranger you meet, love itself. The staff in Starbucks. Love is for the weak.
Wow.
Let me think for a second. It's gone. I don't get that one.
Love itself.
I'm every stranger I meet. It's 10 a.m. on an average Saturday. Oh, my God. God. Okay, how do you feel on a Saturday morning? Fine, once you've had a coffee. Someone poured cement in my sinuses. That's the Coke one. Trapped inside of a carousel of guilt and shame. We've all been there. Trapped into a new higher consciousness and changed forever. Like someone's been using my mouth as an ashtray.
Hmm.
Fair. Depressed. And did someone punch me in the jaw? Oh, God. These are bleak.
Wow. Guilt and shame.
Guilt and shame.
Why not?
Why not? You got alcohol.
Fair.
You're occasionally obnoxious, but always dependable. A friend to many.
I am dependable. I am a friend to many.
You are a friend to many. You're extremely obnoxious.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, after we found out that you're alcohol, can I just tell you that apparently alcohol is ranked as the most dangerous drug.
In terms of,
so the most dangerous in harm to users is cocaine, crack cocaine. What's crack cocaine?
That's the one you smoke.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, crack cocaine is the most dangerous to yourself, but alcohol causes both, cumulatively the most danger to yourself and others.
Okay.
So it's ranked I think it's the third highest for harm to users and the highest by far in harm to others.
Oh.
Following on from that is heroin, crack cocaine, methamphetamine, shockers, and the healthiest drug you could take. So for all you health kicks out there, just get on a couple of shrooms, a bit of acid, she'll be right.
Let's go with your matcha tea and your nice juice infusion.
Have a, oh my God, what's it called when you have a...
Cleanse?
No, not a cleanse. It's like, no, it's like, sorry. It's like when you, an epiphany. Have an epiphany every morning with your breakfast smoothie or whatever people have. So.
Shroom smoothie.
Shroom smoothie, delicious. So there's... Pretty much what happened was there was a study that alcohol is more dangerous than marijuana because people want to legalize marijuana. And the biggest supporting evidence for this is a 2010 study, so it's not that recent, which was published in the UK, which ranked alcohol as the most dangerous drug, surpassing heroin and marijuana. The study has drawn widespread media attention, appearing in... lots of different places, and here at Vox, which is the source. So drug policy experts generally don't dispute the assertion that alcohol is more dangerous than pot. The study, led by the British researcher David Nutt.
Dr. Nutt.
Oh, God. Can you imagine being called? I am Professor Nutt. So it's quite controversial. Exit sees the rankings as kind of flawed because they present the harms that come from drugs as quite crude and one-dimensional. Nutt has acknowledged that study is imperfect. All science is imperfect, so I feel like that's a bit unfair.
Nutt is imperfect.
Even Professor Nutt is not a perfect researcher. Although, his analysis measured two different issues relating to drug use in the UK. The risk to the individual and the damage to society as a whole.
Fair.
Jinx. So the individual scores accounts for a host of different variables. So mortality dependence, drug-related family adversities, environmental damage, and effect on crime.
Mm.
Interesting. If two drugs score similarly, in his analysis, the underlying variables behind the scores can be completely different. For instance, heroin and crack cocaine are very close in the rankings, but heroin is higher on mortality risk, but crack poses a bigger risk for mental impairment.
Okay.
So it doesn't fully account the study for how legal the drug is and accessible. So obviously, like, if heroin and crack were more accessible, they'd probably rank much higher than alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
But alcohol still is.
Yeah, like if people consumed as much crack as they did alcohol.
Oh, dear. Oh, I don't know if I want to live in that one.
No, that would be...
That would be problematic.
Yes, every university in the UK, boop, gone.
Oh, well, we're all having too much fun on crack. So, is marijuana actually safer than alcohol? So, drug experts broadly agree that marijuana is generally safer. Society would be better off if marijuana became the most accepted recreational intoxicant choice instead of alcohol.
Mm.
That's not surprising. Like, marijuana is like chills you out, whereas alcohol kind of does make you go a bit crazy.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, I don't know. Marijuana and alcohol are both intoxicants, but researchers estimated that alcohol multiplies the chance of fatal traffic accidents, while marijuana only doubles the risk. That's interesting.
That is interesting.
Because you can't drive with any marijuana in your system.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's illegal, so that makes sense, actually.
That would, yeah, exactly.
Oh, that does explain it. Yeah. That does explain it.
And I guess that is, it would be quite interesting because obviously alcohol being like so ingrained in like society and like so many like organizations and like bars and like things everywhere, if that were exactly like that level with marijuana. Because I feel like with marijuana, like most people do it like at home or like
yeah, you do things it like that.
It's
like
not like
at
you're
a house party
going out and you have to like drive home or
yeah, exactly. Stuff like that. You do it in the comfort of your own home.
Yeah.
So the lesson is we should all just drink and do drugs in at the home. Lesson. Yeah, in the lesson.
In the lesson. In during
class.
Your lessons, kids.
In class.
Don't
tonight.
Do drugs unless you're in your lessons.
Did you have the giraffe puppet in England that taught
excuse
you
me?
Not to take drugs?
Giraffe puppet?
Howard the giraffe? You didn't have Howard?
No.
How do you know not to take drugs? So we had Howard the giraffe come to our school and tell us not to take drugs. But okay. This time Howard comes out and deals lines for everyone.
What?
And you all smoke together.
That'd be great fun.
That would be good. Okay.
Now we had that. Those adverts where like the girl would come home and like she's got like that creepy dog talking to her.
Oh God, what?
Yeah, it's really weird.
Please
it's like,
describe this.
I don't like you and you're on drugs. Like from this like dog and
a
it's
dog.
Like, yeah, it's really weird.
Oh, I hope my dog likes me if I go on drugs. Would she know? Who knows?
Who knows?
I
mean, there are drugs here for dogs.
Yeah, exactly.
Secret menu.
Actually, have you seen Goop? The Goop documentary on Netflix.
I've not actually watched it, no.
It's very privileged white women just doing random shit.
Sounds about right.
But they, in the first episode, it is kind of interesting. So they do this organized trip to Jamaica to all trip on mushrooms. They all had a grand old time.
But they did.
But pretty much, like, they were chatting to these researchers mm-hmm. who were talking how different drugs could aid in helping... what's it called? Like, recover from different, like, things like PTSD and depression.
Oh, okay,
like,
yeah.
Mental health disorders, I guess. So quite commonly, like, MDMA has been researched a lot to, like, mm-hmm. help with PTSD because it gets you into, like, a certain mindset where you can access the memories
yeah.
of, like, your traumatic memories and then, like, talk about them without having that associated pain while you talk about them.
Wasn't that like a thing with like, the origin of LSD?
Really?
Yeah, because it was like, I mean, it's like human made, and like, they thought it was like, I mean, like a wonder drug for like psychologists and like all that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, they've started doing the same thing with shrooms, which like have a very similar effect to LSD, but they're a bit safer.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like you're able to like access memories about yourself and process them whilst not having the traumatic aspect of PTSD in accessing those memories, because I think the problem with like cognitive behavioral therapy with PTSD is every time you try to access it you have a flashback and you can't properly process
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
So, I think like things like mushrooms and stuff are also like very helpful with allowing people to like, yeah, access different aspects of trauma and like kind of make connections to why they feel the way they do.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe helpful for things like anxiety and depression in the future. But at the moment, it's mostly being tested for PTSD.
Fair.
Just because it's a bit clearer, like the
Actual connection.
Yeah.
I wonder how those experiments will go. That'd be interesting to find out.
I'm excited to see.
Yeah.
But I think that they're having very good results.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to a podcast where like one woman had done the MDMA one, and she was doing it for racial trauma. So it was like, it's like just kind of like the everyday trauma that like a black person in America would face.
Yeah.
And she was doing it to like talk about that and like the things that happen. Yeah. Just like every single day that build up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she like, I mean, this is obviously like anecdotal, but mm-hmm. she like said that she could come out of the sessions and just like really understand like exactly why she felt the way she did and why she reacted in the way she did. So
fascinating.
The mindset around drugs maybe should change so we can use them for our personal benefit.
Mm.
Does the Arctic monkeys agree though? I don't know. But you know what they are asking? Why do you only call me when you're high?
A valid question.
Fair.
The mirror's image tells me it's home time, but I'm not finished, 'cause you're not by my side. And as I arrived, I thought I saw you leaving, carrying your shoes. Decided that once again I was just dreaming of bumping into you. Now it's 3 a.m. and I'm trying to change your mind. Left you multiple missed calls into my mind. To listen, more I get through the gears, incapable of making all right decisions and having bad ideas. Now it's 3 a.m. and I'm trying to change your mind. Left you multiple missed calls until my message you replied.
Arctic Monkeys, why do you only call me when you're high? So we were just debunking a few myths about the health effects of different drugs and how they compare to alcohol. So joining me as we speak, here's Rena.
Hello.
Hi. And you're going to chat to us about how they actually work, like what do drugs and alcohol actually do to our brains and our bodies as we take them?
Yeah. So this is going back to like biology, A-level biology, but I think I can manage. So, yeah, the
get
brain...
Get back in that memory.
Yeah, exactly.
Take some MDMA.
Some shrooms. Yeah. The brain is made up of nerve cells called neurons, or neurones in the UK.
Really?
Yeah, with an E.
Weird. UK people are weird.
I'll say neurons. They're responsible, you know, like you've got sensory neurons that, you know, input information into your brain through your sensory organs. And you've got like neurons that only transmit information from one end to another. And you've got like motor neurons.
Yeah.
You know, that control movement. And neurons can communicate with one another through small gaps called synapses. And when one neuron is activated, it'll release chemicals called neurotransmitters through the synapse, and then which will activate or inactivate and sort of like change things to the next neuron. So it's sort of like a relay, or like one affects the other,
yeah,
sort of thing.
The neurotransmitters are the batons of the
exactly.
relay race.
Passing them along.
Yeah, it's a good. Yeah, that's a good one. But yeah, exactly. And but like different types of neurotransmitters can like have different effects, as can drugs. So some drugs have like a similar shape to like the neurotransmitter, and they can like bind to receptors in the neurons, and that will activate or, you know, deactivate or change how the neuron works. And there's some other drugs that like sort of stimulate neurons to release more neurotransmitters, such as like cocaine and amphetamines.
Stimulants.
Stimulants and depressants.
And there's some that sort of alter the brain's pleasure system, which is like dopamine. And then, you know, it's like the pleasure neurotransmitter. Like
making you feel good.
Yeah, exactly. But the only problem with that is like, because your brain is very plastic and adaptable. Sometimes, like, if you take too much, or like if your brain can get dependent on these drugs. So like if you take too high of a dose, like for example, then your brain will sort of react and adapt and like remove like new receptors.
Oh, so you need it to feel the same as you did before.
Exactly. You need more of the same to feel what you did before.
So yeah. The tolerance.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's like, and then like, sometimes like you get withdrawal as well, because the brain is like used to that amount, and then it's like adapted, and then suddenly if you don't have that level of drugs, then it's sort of like it doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And that's like when you get withdrawal symptoms.
It's like, oh my god, what's going on?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well,
like dependence and stuff like that. Some people are like trying, you know, some people who use these drugs are like trying to find ways of like avoiding that. So like one way is like microdosing.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's where the person, I think officially like the term is like a tenth of the dose that's like the normal, what you call that, the dose that's like an activation dose.
Okay.
I don't remember what you call it. It's like anyway, it's like a small dose that is like normally like one would think it's like imperceptible to the body, but like,
okay, it's that tiny. Yeah,
yeah. And that one that would definitely not make the brain like go like, oh my god, I have to deal with this.
Yeah,
basically it's just like almost you know,
not detectable.
Exactly. And they're still trying to figure out like whether it's effective or not, like whether microdosing is like,
it's like, would it be effective?
Yeah, it's quite interesting because we don't really know.
Yeah.
But they have, like, there's some studies that have found, like, it is, like, so, like, small microdosing MDMA can have beneficial effects for ex-military or first responder PTSD sufferers.
Like you were talking about, Jackie. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. But the caveat is, like, the treatment takes place in, like, a very controlled environment, and it's just, you know, it's assisted by psychotherapy.
Yeah, it's very clinical, like, exactly. Controlled, like, this is what's happening.
Mm. So, like, maybe it might not work as well if, you know, you're on your own.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also a very specific population that they're trying it on.
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
Like, mostly, I would assume, like, youngish white, mostly men.
Yeah.
And American.
Mm. A lot of drugs. Yeah, a lot of drug studies.
A lot of studies generally.
Yeah, a lot of studies in general. Yeah.
I think drugs also, specifically, I think because they think, like, there's, like, less variables, like, hormonal cycle or whatever, even though they're, like, male hormonal cycles.
So. I know, exactly. But it's always, like, any, like, physiological norm is, like, for a man weighing this much at this height. Not for any woman.
Oh my god! It's just slightly off topic. That reminded me of, like, you know, the crash test dummies.
Oh yeah.
They're made from men, aren't they?
Yeah, they're, like, yeah.
It's terrifying.
Especially like European or, like, North American. Mm-hmm. So, like, they're, like, kind of tall, like the average height is kind of tall, yep. Which is not representative of, like, you know,
and, like,
women.
A higher weight as well.
Yeah, sort of dad bod.
Dad bods.
Dad bod crash test dummies.
Do they dress those dummies? Like, are they naked?
So. I don't know.
It must put something on it, because obviously people aren't going to be in cars
like,
and
bright
naked.
Colors. I don't know. I have no idea. I, like, just made that up, like, completely.
Because, like, they reminded me of, like, dad bod crash test dummies.
In socks and sandals.
Yeah,
socks
true.
And sandals.
In sliders.
Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah, it's a bucket hat. yeah, no, but sorry. Yeah, you're right, though.
But, yeah, sorry. Mm. But going back to, like, microdosing? Drugs. Let's go back to drugs. You know, weed is also, like, a big topic at the moment, like microdosing THC, CBD. Can't remember what the acronyms are. Cannabinoids. Mm. And a study in 2017 found that very low doses of THC reduce stress, but higher doses increase anxiety.
Sounds like weed.
Yeah, that's about
you
right.
You get relaxed or you get anxious.
Yeah, super paranoid.
Exactly. And, like, in other studies, like, CBD has shown potential in the treatment of insomnia and other anxiety disorders. So I guess it's, like, finding the right, you know, dose.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the same with any, like, mental health drug. It's, like, it's all about finding which one works for you and how much to take. Because, like, it's, like, as you said, like, for some people, weed is super calming and, like, makes you really, really good. And some people get super paranoid and anxious. So
exactly. Like, people are just so different.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Maybe, I don't know if this is, like, a crazy idea, but maybe it's, like, hey, maybe we should, like, legalize some of these and, like, say, have doctors, like, well, have more research put into this. And, like, so, like, doctors know, like, you know, we can sort of use these and... Maybe it's, like, potentially beneficial because, like, there aren't that many studies at the moment simply because, you know, it's, like, it's such a taboo thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like it's also one of those things that's just, like, yeah, they can't test it on that many people because it is
illegal. Yeah, like, you can't legally just give someone, like, a massive dose of MDMA. Like, here you go.
Good luck.
But... Yes, as you mentioned earlier, the Goop Lab.
The Goop Lab. I can't believe they call themselves the Goop Lab.
I know.
It's so ridiculous. You should watch, like, just the first episode to see what all the hubbub's about.
I'd love to.
Oh, yeah, no, I've seen some. I've just articles about them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also get the candle.
Oh, it's sold out. You can't.
It's sold out.
Yeah, her vagina candle.
I'm not surprised. That would feel so good, though. Can you imagine like yeah, like everyone's out.
Buying my candle. Oh, that's what I was yeah. like, my vagina.
I feel that's such a power move.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And like they've got psychic vampire repellent.
What? Wait, really?
No, is literally on the website, you can buy a psychic vampire repellent.
Is it a joke though? Like, is what? That just like a fancy title no. or something?
As in, it's like to dispel like things which suck on your mental health.
Oh my god. I kind of
but I don't think they mean like literal like vampire.
Yeah, yeah, that's okay, what I thought.
But they mean like drain your mental health.
Yeah, suckers.
Yeah. Like in god, the air.
I love this whole prospect. Mm. There was one episode apparently, sorry this is a bit off topic, but we'll get back onto it, but where they pretty much like it's all about like the female orgasm and apparently that's meant to be actually quite good. But
quite good. Mm.
Quite good as like in that like it was like it's very much like without accurate. Yeah and no presence of like the male gaze within it like okay. It's very like
were there any jade eggs up there though?
Yeah, they're like they're having a look and they're like, oh babes, you forgot to take this out. But yes, continue.
Yes,
so the Goop Lab.
But yeah, they're like, I haven't watched it, but apparently like they microdose like all sorts of different drugs, like including mushrooms.
Yeah, they did do mushrooms.
And like microdosing mushrooms is also like a pretty, well, I don't want to say popular, but it's quite a thing.
Yeah.
But like there's, again, there's like few studies. Well, no studies.
Yeah, not actually that much evidence.
Exactly. Yet.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the thing. Again, like we need, like science hasn't really been able to caught up with.
Yeah, I guess there's not been enough funding in it yet.
Yeah, and it's more expensive as well.
Fully one way or another.
Yeah, and it's more expensive for them to run human trials when the drug isn't legal.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like, it's harder for them to. So if it was legalized or, like, some red tape taken down, then one, we'd have better science, it'd be safer, better research.
Mm. And then we could all take shrooms. Could say, this is awful. Do not do this.
And then we'll know.
And then we'll know.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we'll know.
It can only, well, research can only, like, be a good thing, like.
Oh, well. It's a debate for another show.
Is research ever a bad thing? Mm.
Bad research.
Sometimes, yes.
Just a lot of, like, philosophy
course. Yeah, exactly. Get everyone in from the ethics class.
Ooh.
It's not a bad idea. We can have a little debate.
Are you taking the ethics class?
No, I'm not.
No.
I wish I could comment.
Yeah, you won't be coming in for that show. Oh, no. But anyways, so pretty much what we know is we could find out more about drugs. They could be very useful for us. However, we just have not had enough research into them yet. Maybe one day.
Maybe one day.
But it is, the MDMA research in particular is getting quite a bit more. So at least that's promising.
Yeah.
So we are going to play another song. We're going to play Drink Too Much by G Flip.
I got a crush on Steph Glassmith. Oh, but she never liked no. Like me, but I'm more than my crooked teeth. No one wants to ride my wave. Am I really that insane? Mama said don't misbehave, yeah. And if I wanna make it work, I better go and dish my dirt, so I'm sorry if you ever have to carry me home. I'm sorry if I ever make you feel so alone. I'm sorry if I never ever pick up my phone. When you really need me, you really need me. I'm sorry if you ever have to carry me home. I'm sorry if I ever make you so alone. I'm sorry if I never ever pick up my phone when you really need me. I just wanna get into trouble. I wanna be out to lunch. Last girl, she dumped me because I would drink too much. I just wanna get into trouble. I wanna be out to lunch. Last girl, she dumped me because I would drink. Would you ride with me, fly with me? first girl she dumped me, 'cause I would drink too much. I just wanna get into trouble, I wanna be out to lunch. Last girl she dumped me, 'cause I would drink, I would drink, I would drink too much. I'm feeling forever make you feel so alone. I'm sorry if I never ever pick up my phone. When you really need me, you really need me. I'm sorry if you ever have to carry me home. I'm sorry if I ever make you feel so alone. I'm sorry if I never ever pick up my phone. When you really need me.
All right, that was G Flip with Drink Too Much. A very relatable sentiment.
Yes, indeed.
So we're chatting about how dangerous alcohol is a lot. And before we get into just the general drugs policy and what that landscape is like, has there ever been a time when you've drank a bit too much, Harry?
Oh, I think there have been several times.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Do you care to share, or would you rather keep that side for yourself private?
Which story is the most appropriate for this show? Do you have one?
I've got one. I can start with the tone. I'm not sure if I've told you this before, but I was having such a lovely time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was my friend's 21st, and I was like the last person. So you know how you have like a few different friendship groups at a 21st?
Yeah.
I was the last of our friendship group, so okay. I was just like still at this party where I didn't know anyone.
So I was like, I need to drink some more.
Yeah, like I was like floating between like all the people I didn't know, just being like, and I was so drunk that I'm like, oh my God, I'm just so much fun to be around. Everyone here loves me. And then, you know, when you get that sudden feeling where you're just like, I must leave right now.
Oh no.
And then I was like, I have to leave. Left the party, didn't say goodbye to anyone, didn't mm-hmm. matter, I didn't know anyone. Call up an Uber, get in, and then driving home, and I'm doing the classic, like, every, like, 5 minutes, I'm just like, please stop. And then, like, oh, I have to pull over, have a little out the side, get back in, and then, like, every time I get back in, I start crying, and I'm just like, I'm so sorry about this. And then there was one point where I just like gave up and put down the window and just was like chugging out the side, and like tear, like my face was like streaking like black eye makeup, like all down my face. No. I was covered in vomit. I get out of the car and I'm just like, thank you, bye,
thank you very much, love you.
thank you, love you. Get out of the car. And then a week later, I just had like a nice little dinner in the city with my parents, mm-hmm. and I left and I had to get an Uber back from the station. It was low-key, get in the car, and I'm like, oh, hi, like, blah, 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 how's your night? And he's like, oh, I think I recognize you. I was just like, what? And he's like, yeah, I drove you last week. And I was like, oh, I don't remember that. And I was just like,
oh my God.
Oh no. And like the whole way back, I was just like, oh.
He's gonna kill me.
Yes. He hates me. Oh dear. And like the whole ride, he was just like, oh yeah, you don't seem quite as upset as you were last week.
Oh no.
That was awful.
That's sad.
But I had a hilarious. Good night up till then.
That's good. You're just like, I need to go throw up and cry, please.
Time to vomit. Time to get many liquids out of my body.
Ooh, well.
It is your turn.
It is my turn. I'll talk about the first time I threw up from alcohol.
Oh, yeah, go on.
So it was the last day of Freshers Week at uni.
Of course it was.
Of course it was.
Was that the first time?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's actually quite impressive.
I didn't really drink that much before uni, to be honest.
It's quite good of you.
Yeah. And so I blame it on the little vodka jelly.
Oh. Oh, yeah, yes. 100%.
I would blame it on that.
I feel like that's fair.
And I remember when, because like, I, so basically.
It would have
like,
been brightly coloured.
Oh, it was like bright red.
Oh, gross.
Because it was like the night where, because we have like this like college parent system thing, where like the kids in the year above were like.
Oh, cute.
Do like take care of you or whatever.
Aww.
Or like help you through like in the first year. But basically, yeah, and the last day is like parents' evening where like everyone takes their kids to get them like drunk in their own house. So my parents are like, oh,
your parents. So you had a few parents.
No, as in like my mum and a dad. College parents.
It's very heteronormative.
Yes. Oh no, people could marry whoever they wanted. But I just happened to have a mum and dad. So my mum and dad.
But are they together, your mum and dad?
Do they date? No.
Okay.
As in just like college wise.
That's so weird. That's so strange.
Normally do that the same course of you. Yeah.
God, I wish I went there. That's
normally
adorable.
Do that same course as you and like can help you or whatever.
And they're buds.
Yeah.
That sounds so wholesome. Okay, so you went with your parents to their house.
Yes. And like on the way they're like, oh, do you like to drink much? Like, and like, oh, we'll buy you some like alcohol or whatever. And I was like, I don't really drink that much.
Harry.
And then I got there and there's a little vodka.
Little vodka.
Oh, dear. I ended up just like throwing up in their back garden.
Oh, good.
And then my dad like took me like to us in a taxi back to mine. And just like put like just woke up in my bed like not remembering how I got there. With like these post-it notes on my door saying, please let me know you're okay when you wake up.
Fatherly love.
Yes.
Oh, don't you love uni parents?
Yeah. Oh, and I threw up in the sink when I got back as well.
Oh, good. Yes. That would have been a nice surprise for the morning.
Yeah, indeed.
Good stuff.
Yes, good stuff.
Oh, God. Alcohol, why do we do it to ourselves?
Why?
Honestly.
Do we?
Let's chat about some policy that might stop all this nonsense. It's immature nonsense.
Yes.
Talk us through it, Harry.
So. Because marijuana has been legalized in various places across the world for various numbers of years, depending on the place.
It's legal in Canberra and California.
Yeah, California, Colorado, Canada, in various places. So basically, yeah, because they've had kind of had some time to do some, like studies on like what the actual effect is. Mm. And
how's
so
going?
I'm going to talk about one study which came out November 2019, which actually found that marijuana legalization has led to more problematic use. Which is quite interesting because I feel like not many people expected that. But the lead researcher made sure to say it is not meant to advocate against legalization, but to inform it.
Yes.
So it's not like saying, oh, I've did this study, don't do this.
Yeah.
It's like, take this into account and to like adjust. To develop policy in the right way.
Yeah. Because the thing is, like, whilst it may have bad public health, some bad health, public health effects, like, a lot of it is also about, like, racial discrimination and.
Yes.
Criminalization of like certain groups of people.
Yeah, definitely.
But yes, continue.
So, the study's lead author and her co-authors said, although occasional marijuana use is not associated with statural problems, long-term heavy use can be linked to various psychological or physical health concerns, as well as lower educational attainment, decline in social class, unemployment.
Decline in social class?
I know, yeah.
What does that mean?
I think it must mean like if you use weed all the time, blah blah blah, you might stop going to your job or like lose money or whatever.
Or like get like a more like you'd go from like a white collar job to a blue collar job.
Yeah,
or
maybe things like that. Or maybe
I wonder how they measure social class.
Surely yeah, that would be quite interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways.
Unemployment and motor vehicle crashes. So basically you're saying that if legalization only makes occasional use easier, that's not a concern whatsoever, because it is proven like occasional use of marijuana like is not as bad as alcohol.
Yeah,
but if legalization is leading to more use and addiction overall, which it could cause real problems.
Right.
But also, I feel like some of those substantial problems mentioned there, those are literally the problems that come with alcohol.
True.
Like declining psychological issues, physical health issues, lower like education attainment if you're like drinking from a young age, unemployment, vehicle crashes. That's all alcohol.
Yeah, that's all alcohol. Like, it's just that you've got a bit more because.
Yeah. So it's like saying if these are reasons not to legalize it, you shouldn't have alcohol legalized.
Yeah, exactly.
Surely, right?
Yeah.
Oof. But yeah. The lead author is a drug policy expert at New York University, and she's once again cautioned to say that it's not a bad idea, but the way a country legalizes it should better take it into account.
How do you think that they could do that, though?
Honestly, I'm not too sure.
I wonder, take it into account, but what's that mean?
Yeah.
Like, what would be preferable? Like, limiting, a certain amount per week? This is your weed ration?
Weed ration?
I guess that's depends, your 4 grams?
Yeah, I guess it depends how 4 grams.
No, that's fair. No, that's a lot. No, it's an ounce. Sorry. 4 grams is not very much.
Mm-hmm.
Continue, sorry. God. I can't believe I just said that. They could limit how much you buy in one sitting, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely with other drugs as well. And obviously, I feel like because it's legalized in so many different places, it's going to be legalized in so many different ways.
Yeah. Well, did you see that there's a study that young people, so I think it's the age group, it's our age group pretty much. So 18 to 20, 25, 26 are the group that has had the least use of substance, drugs and alcohol ever.
Oh, isn't our
general
group?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I have seen that.
And it's because, pretty much they found it's because, of capitalism and feeling the need to, always be achieving and be productive and, obviously being hungover. And, so it all plays into, anxiety and, being stressed and also, financial as well.
Wow.
So those are, the top reasons. Because we're in such a time of, you have to be productive all the time and you have to wake up and go to a spin class at 6 a.m. and all of that kind of thing.
Gross.
And they found what's happening is a lot of young people are using, I've forgotten what it's called, but the date rape drug.
Rehypnol.
So they use a little bit of it to get themselves just immediately drunk because you don't feel hungover the next day if you only take a certain amount.
Jesus Christ.
So people are just drugging themselves to feel drunk for 4 hours, go home,
and then wake up the next day.
Yeah. Because they don't take enough to completely knock them out.
Yeah.
So that's the thing as well.
I guess they're trying to develop, in various places. I think one was in Japan, where they're trying to make hangover-free alcohol.
That would be great.
Imagine.
That would be so good. It's just you could have alcohol and not be ruined for the next day. Oh, that would be so lovely.
But I think it was purely synthetic. I'm who knows what else is going to do to you.
Yeah, it's probably so bad for you.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, people do things less, but they find other, how young people are taking a lot of coke and speed now.
Oh.
That's becoming more common.
You don't get hungover.
You do. Not to the same level. You get a come down, but it's not to the same thing. So you just take a bit of it. Or people get really drunk, and the next day when they're hungover, they just take a bit of speed and then go off about their business.
I'm up and ready now.
Yeah, literally. So I don't know. People will do what they're going to do and find ways to get it.
Exactly.
Yeah, and there's so many things like that.
So the legal saying, we were pointing out, drugs like alcohol and tobacco have huge negative impacts on society.
Yeah.
So this isn't necessarily saying, do not do it.
Yeah.
Excessive drinking is linked to 88,000 deaths a year, tobacco 480,000 to 540,000 deaths a year.
Yeah.
And it's rare that anyone would ever say, oh, let's ban those entirely.
Yeah, exactly.
Without massive backlash, at least.
Yeah.
And she's saying legalization also has so many important benefits from a criminal justice standpoint.
Yeah, exactly. Why is weed illegal in the first place? Was it literally because of that?
I think it probably was, to be honest. Or at least why it was criminalized to such an extent.
Yeah.
I doubt it would have been harsh if it weren't associated with minority groups.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not sure. I might have a Google of that and then we can post that maybe on the Insta.
Yeah, that'd be quite interesting.
Because I don't think it's always been illegal. It's opium used to be legal.
Oh, yeah, but then, yeah.
It was a fun time, wasn't it?
I mean, cocaine was in Coca-Cola.
Oh, yeah. I forgot
about drugs
that.
Were everywhere. They, if you went to the doctor, they'd be like, yeah, take a bit of Coke.
I saw that. Coke used to be a cure for the common cold.
Yeah.
And there's a line in the Wikipedia page where it was cocaine. Stopped coughing at the source. The brain.
Stopped coughing at the source. The brain. It's like, yes, if you take this, you cannot cough. Your brain won't allow you to.
Your brain will no longer work properly.
Oh, my
both
God.
Compelling. Oh, anyways.
Wow.
That is the end of our show. So we're going to go out on a song. This is Time to Pretend. A song about drugs by MGMT.